Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Mean Green Nation podcast bi-week edition, like the official bi-week edition. You may have heard me on the other one. I just called it a bi-week 17 where we did a little round table. Actually, I just called up a few Conference USA bloggers and podcasters, in particular Jason Jones, Alec Nicholas, and Shane. I don't know how to say his last name off the top of my head. We're not that good of friends, guys. But we talked FAU, UTEP, and we talked La Tech, all pretty relevant teams yesterday as they either won or lost in spectacular fashion or upset fashion or nearly upset something. So good stuff there. We talked about North Texas and things that are happening that maybe you weren't aware of. I don't know. Some people impressively listen to Conference USA blogs and podcasts. I'm like, I don't really have time to listen to everything. So I'm going to have to jump on some of those playlists. With me, as usual, Mr. Aldo, how you doing over there?
Oh, feeling pretty good. Allergies are kicking my butt, but otherwise, doing all right.
Yeah, I think there's one part of my house that is, like, I guess has more of the allergens in it or something. Because if I go through that room, then I walk out sneezing and, like, with, you know, runny nose. But I slept like a baby last night because, I guess, I'm away from it. These are the things you worry about when you're old. Old and near the end. ladies and gentlemen, there was a big day yesterday for us. Us being, you know, fans of North Texas football. Because, you know, the team that we play next, the UDSA Roadrunners, they finally played a conference game. And you might have been annoyed by a lot of tweets or things on the internet, maybe forum posts, I don't know. However you experienced fandom, where they were saying, oh, yeah, we're the best defense in the league. I think on the broadcast, because Mean Green Nation headquarters is here in San Antonio for the time being, so I got to watch it on the broadcast. I didn't have to watch it on the Facebook. They were like, you know, this is number two defense in the nation. Look at these stats, holding teams to, like, 0 yards, everything, right? And I was telling my little group here, we were actually playing board games and having some beers and pizza and things. I was like, you know, the thing about that, guys, is they haven't played anybody. 0-5 Baylor, terrible Southern, and non-good Texas State Bobcats. And, you know, I was like, you know, like, if we played that schedule, we would have done the same thing. We would have been the best team in the nation instead of maybe one of the worser ones, defensively speaking. And lo and behold, Southern Miss, which had one of the more explosive offenses in the league, exploded all over them and sliced them up for lots of yards and things.
Family show.
Yeah. Hey, I didn't say this. I'm using words that are in the third grade dictionary.
yeah, they finally got to play a competent team, and while they were able to keep up, they did lose to a competent team.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I saw the typical tweets, right? You know, when you're a fan, I think the Rivals guy is like, you know, this looked like Southern Miss wanted it more. It looked like Southern Miss was the better team. Like, let's be real about this. That if you take away these expectations, like, look, our defense is so good, and you just watch the two teams play, it looked like one team was better than the other. And the good that UTSA's defense had was pretty obviously, like, it fell in the same category of mistakes that we've seen Southern Miss play. For whatever reason, I've seen more Southern Miss games than I guess care for. I've watched a lot of Southern Miss.
Two?
Yeah. And, like, three. I watched a little of the Kentucky game and the highlights of the other one. So Keon Howard started. That was a surprise. I think that UTSA was preparing for Quadra Griggs. I have to slow down there. It's a sharp turn. You know, I got to go down 30 miles an hour. Quadra Griggs didn't play, and the knock on him was that he's not super accurate. Keon Howard, the knock on him was that he turns the ball over. And he had a really good passing stat line, 15 to 20 for 215 yards and 3 touchdowns. But he turned the ball over. He, like, fumbled the ball in pretty standard Keon Howard style. I mean, we feasted on his turnovers last season. I think one reason he got pulled against Kentucky was that he was turning the ball over again. Our big question, Mean Green Nation's big question, about Southern Miss coming into the season was what's going to happen with their quarterback. And I think this was the best Southern Miss team that we saw, like the better version. And I think somebody tweeted at me last night and said, you know, it would take a really good team to beat them, you know? A really explosive team to beat this Southern Miss team, you know?
And that's kind of what I was saying. And I know you're talking about more North Texas, but with UTSA, I was mentioning last week, in order to beat Southern Miss, UTSA has to be more explosive than Southern Miss. And, you know, stats didn't really show that they could be more explosive than they were. And that's ultimately what lost UTSA the game.
Yeah, one thing about, like, the – because I saw that little conversation you had where you were like, Southern Miss is one of the more explosive teams. Look at the number of 10-plus yard gains, 20-plus yard gains. And I think the response back was, yeah, but UTSA hasn't – the problem that he was doing is looking at, like, the whole number and not the rate, you know? Like, it was, like, 11 – they've allowed 26 in three games, which was, like, 11 a game, 11 big plays a game, whatever it was. I forget the number off the top of my head. But it was not especially dominant defense from UTSA. I was like, those are, you know, you're allowing 11 a game, and Southern Miss is averaging 15 big plays a game. So, I mean, you're not really stopping people. And again, you're not playing anybody as explosive. We saw firsthand how good Ito Smith is. And I said this before. I think he's probably, depending on the day and depending on your scheme, a little bit better than Jeffrey Wilson. I think maybe just because he's a better pass catcher. But watching Ito Smith slice them up gave me good feelings about our guy, Jeff Wilson, because we have a more explosive pass game, at least a more accurate pass game. And I liked everything I saw that Southern Miss is doing to UTSA, and it gave me good feelings about next week. How about you? Did you get a chance to watch any of it?
Yeah, I watched the second half and part of the first quarter. And, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, the UTSA's defense was pretty decent. They caused all those turnovers. And I'm trying to look up how many turnovers there actually were by Southern Miss.
Well, again, like, Keon Howard, like, fumbled off his own dude's butt there, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, it was like this. That was just a super lucky. And the other turnover was, like, he was, like, running 40 staggers, was running 45 yards down the field and didn't take care of the ball. So, I mean, those are, like, less UTSA did good and more luck. But go ahead.
Well, sure, like, but, you know, there were, what, maybe four or five turnovers, which was a lot, and still UTSA lost the game. They were gifted all these opportunities to run it back on USM, but they didn't take advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And I lost my train of thought on that one. But, yeah.
Talking over you, huh?
Yeah, Southern Miss did a good job of, one, containing UTSA's offense, which I think is containable, both on the rushing offense and the passing offense. North Texas passing offense has three different levels. You got the short passing game, you got the middle or the intermediate level, and the deep passing. You shut one of those down, we still have two of those working in our favor. So if you shut down Jalen Guyton, we've got Lawrence, we've got Darden, we've got Wilson. You shut down them, you know, one of those other levels, you have to pick your poison against North Texas. And fortunately for us, all three phases are working properly. You know, if you shut one down, it's not the end of the it doesn't crush our defense or offense.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, like, I think you could see that watching the game there, that UTSA, they threw for 360-something yards, and they left some points on the field. And hey, what, Southern Miss was having a hard time containing the pass, really? Believe it or not? Yeah, and UTSA obviously looked at our film, and they were trying to go to Southern Miss's left side on the, what's his name, Michael out there, M-I-K-E-L-L. The guy, Jalen Guyton, was working over. And they had some success out there, but you can tell that this is not really their game. They're not throw it around. Like, we can throw it around 40-50 times and not really have a problem. We're like, yeah, this is what we do. You know, when we talked about this before, one thing we want to do is get teams uncomfortable. Let's get them playing our game, because we feel we're better at our game than they are at their game. And, you know, this is not, you know, groundbreaking philosophy here. Iowa did the same thing to us. They wanted to play their game, and once they got us in, you know, in their wheelhouse, we couldn't play. We couldn't do the things we wanted to do. But you know, we had UAB and Southern Miss playing our game, and we won. We controlled those game days. So we want Dalton Sturm to throw it 35 times and get 300 yards. We don't want him to get 300 yards, but you get my point. Because we feel we can win that. UTSA's design, their roster choices, their play design, their practice plan is designed around running the ball, play action off those runs, controlling the clock, and playing defense. So we don't want them to do any of that. Southern Miss did a good job of shutting down their run game. And, you know, that same Southern Miss team that Jeff Smith, God, every time I think of Ito Smith,
it's every in my mind, time.
Every time. Jeff Wilson, God, I'm the worst ever.
So here are the stats. Yeah. UTSA was allowed to run the ball 33 times for 102 rushing yards. That's 3.1 yards per attempt. And I assume it includes some of Sturm's scrambles. Yeah. For Southern Miss, they had 30 attempts for 246 rushing yards. That's 8.2 yards per clip.
And I think if you look at that, you'll see negative 10 yards rushing there by the team. They lost 10 yards kneeling the ball to win the game. It would have been a little sprinkle better. They were, you know, I mean, some of that was an 89-yard run by Ito Smith, but that's what I'm saying. It's like Southern Miss really got whatever they wanted in the run game, in the pass game. When you're drawing up a game plan, you say, let's please stop Ito Smith, and we'll take whatever, you know, we'll see, make him beat us through the air. UTSA didn't do either of those things. Now, I want to get to a question. Can we get to a question real quick?
Sure.
Let's see. First question I got last night was, could this UTSA loss to Southern Miss hurt us? And I've heard variations on this kind of theme here, this question. And so I want to answer it by saying no. Like, I think that the idea is like, hey, UTSA is going to come in here with a chip on their shoulder, and they're going to be really hard to beat now that they lost. And yeah, that's sure. I think that right now, there are two ways that we've been winning, right? We come in and we're surprising, like, oh man, North Texas is pretty good. And that's it. The other way we haven't actually done, and there's been a lot of complaints about this on the message board and on the internet among the fandom. Part of the transition into becoming a good team is the changing of attitudes around it. You know, like, you don't want to be surprised and happy about success. You want to expect success. You know, like just Western Kentucky, for example. Every week past couple seasons, they get everybody's best shot because they know that they were the best team in the conference, back-to-back conference champions. You have to be able to play at your absolute best every week because everybody's gunning for you. They're going to give you their best game every time. And so that's our transition. Like, now everybody's saying, you see it on the message board, you know, North Texas might be our toughest game. Hey, North Texas is pretty good. That's going to be a tough one. They're a really good team. So we don't have the element of surprise anymore, and that's fine because you have to shed that. And you have to be a good team. If we want to be who we want to be, right? Where we want to be, where we're like, yeah, North Texas is expected to go to bowl games, expected for conference championships, expected for nicking the edge of the top 25. Well, yeah, we're gonna have to face teams that are prepared to play us in our home, giving us their best shot. So I'm not really afraid of that, and I don't think it hurts us or our chances. Obviously, we don't want them extra prepared, but you get my point, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, no matter how you prepare, it doesn't matter. Or I guess, let me flip that. No matter the outcome of the other team the week before, like if UTSA had won, people would be saying, oh, they're on a roll, they're going to come in and beat us. And now they're saying, oh, they lost, okay, they're going to be upset about that, and they're going to come in and try to beat us. So it's a lose-lose, especially when you have a fandom that's been so used to losing that they're finding any kind of excuse ahead of the game to lose. So, which is kind of ridiculous. Have confidence in the team. I mean, the team's not going to feel like that. They don't care about the UTSA win or loss. All they're going to do is look at the film and then come prepared to play them next week. And like you were saying, you know, the team has the confidence of playing their game and beating UTSA. And I agree with that. It doesn't matter what UTSA did last week. UTSA is going to, North Texas is going to come in and play North Texas football. And UTSA is going to try to stop that, for lack of a better word.
It is a bit early for your punditry right now. You know, it's not at the level you need to be. Those are good points. I think you hear this. It sounds like coach speak, but it's coach speak and it's cliche because it's truth. You know, it has the nugget of truth in there. You want to play your game. You can't play somebody else's game. And so we can't worry about them. You got to worry about us, right? Meaning like the team as they're practicing. The good news is, go ahead.
And as an example, a perfect example of what you're saying is UTSA had to pass the ball 43 times last week and was only able to rush it 33 times when they've only been passing it maybe on average, 25 times, maybe less?
Yeah.
And rushing it 40-something times. Southern Miss was able to complete 10.1 yards per pass. That's ridiculous.
Yeah,
on 21 pass attempts.
It was like 9 yards per play. They were just slicing them up, just getting whatever they wanted. And like I said, if UTSA didn't luck out with two gifted fumbles, one was just a swipe as Alonzo Staggers was cutting inside and about to go score, and then the guy got a hand of the ball, and then Staggers fumbled as he was 50 yards down the field. Or the Keon Howard butt fumble. He ran into his own guy, fumbled behind the line. Like, if it weren't for those things, then it would have been worse. It would have been like Southern Miss going away. They really got whatever they wanted. And all right, so the other question I got was, what are our strengths and weaknesses so far versus UTSA? Basically, how do we match up versus them? I'm going to give you the quick version because I know we're going to talk about it a little bit later in the show. I think what we're best at is matches up well against their defense. Jeff Wilson is a talent against a very good defensive line, and that's UTSA's strength. They've been talking about their defensive line all season. We've played a few really good defensive lines Southern Methodist again.
Southern Miss?
Yeah. There's too many Southerns. SMU, they have a good defensive line, and they did a good job of shutting us down. I think that's the worry when we say, what's a team that can stop us? But like I said before, we moved the ball well against SMU, and we kind of beat ourselves towards the end of the first half. And also, we've improved since then. Iowa has a good defensive line. UAB had a big, strong defensive line, and so did last week's USM. They had a really good, and they still have a really good defensive line. Like, that defensive line stopped a lot of what UTSA was trying to do. They got in there and they stopped them. And for the most part, UNT has been able to run all day. We were the second best run team in the conference by yards per carry, and like the third best in yards per game. Jeff Wilson's really good. Our line has played really well, and we're able to get some push and get enough room for him to get some space. Ito Smith, again, whom I think is a good comparison for Jeff Smith. So if you see Ito Smith do something, we're like, Jeff Wilson can probably do something similar. He sliced him up. I don't think Southern Miss gets him the ball enough. He had 17 carries last night. He probably got more and ran for a lot. But
Southern Miss was able to just create edges for Ito Smith to run around, and I think they created a formula for how to beat UTSA's defensive line.
Yeah, one cool thing that I thought that USM did was they did a lot of play action or just zone read things, and UTSA was just laser focused in on Ito Smith again, as you should be, and Ito Smith got blown up in the backfield like 3 times. And beautiful fakes by Keon Howard because he just took off running. And I think we're going to see a little bit of that where, UTSA was, they're over-aggressive. And I think we take good advantage of teams that are over-aggressive. So that's how we match up in a run game. Pass game, again, I think we can probably, there was a lot last season when they had about as good a defensive team. And there's a lot available for us. We moved the ball well. And Mason Fine has been playing really well. Jalen Guyton is on a roll. Turner Smiley has been getting open deep. Everything you mentioned earlier, everybody's been playing well. I think we match up well against their secondary.
Yeah, and then with the added wrinkle of the read option, I think that's another element of, you know, when we do a play action, it isn't, you know, a classic play action.
Yeah.
Fine, we'll read the defense and decide whether to tuck and run or pass it deep. So that added wrinkle there is another, you know, another weapon.
Yeah. Mason Fine ran for 80 yards against him in one play last season. And he ran away from him too. Jeff Wilson is faster than Mason Fine, and Jalen Guyton is probably the fastest guy on the team. You think so? Who's faster, Jeff Wilson or Jalen Guyton?
I think, well, probably Guyton.
Yeah. So, I mean, like I said, I like it. I like our team against their team. What concerns me, and I think people mentioned this, I even mentioned this, was that we're going into the bye, we kind of lose some rhythm. We lose a little bit of the offensive momentum. I'd rather be healthy than have momentum, because one thing that can really kill your momentum is injuries. And so I think it was well timed this bye. But you know, it would have been nice to see us just keep it going. I just dropped something. So I mean, and that leads me to the other thing. When we've been bad, it's usually us being ourselves. And I know this is something that fans always say, like, it was just us. It was not even them. It was just a wee bit. But it's drop passes. It's penalties. It's bobbling the snap. In the first quarter against Southern Miss, bobbled snap, like running the wrong play or just kind of going in the wrong thing, not reading things, playing too fast, drop passes or the wrong routes. That's us. You know what I mean? That's us doing bad things, and we got it together, and we started moving the ball. So that's what scares me a little bit. I don't know if a bye is going to refresh us or make us cold. I mean, UTSA, you can make the argument they came out pretty low last night. I think their coach said something similar. You know, so anything can happen in this game. I mean, that's why we have coaches, highly paid coaches, to assess the situation and make corrections as necessary, you know.
Yeah, and I think the key is to establish Wilson early. You know, we're a passing team, and we don't necessarily have to. Like, Wilson can have 0 yards rushing, and we could still be okay because Wilson's still a threat.
Yeah.
But we have to establish the run soon and, you know, positively.
So are you saying that we should get it to our best offensive player early and often?
Pretty much. I mean... I mean, nowadays the argument can be made Guyton is you know, pushing Wilson for best offensive player.
You know, I mean, again, I think Jeff has the advantage because he can get the ball so easily. We always turn around and hand it to him versus a pass play where, you know, they can maybe double or triple cover Guyton. But, I mean, it's a team game, and I think we forget about that sometimes. You know, anyway, we talked a little bit about this last week where we said, hey, it's great to see Guyton do so well because he makes it easier for Jeff. And I don't know, my initial feeling, how do you feel about this next week game? I had always marked UTSA as a win on my score sheet, and I was mostly concerned. I didn't know what UTSA had, but having seen them play against a, let's say, top half Conference USA team, I was less than impressed. And one thing we know about this league is that there's a lot of variability, right? Last night, La Tech lost. Middle Tennessee all of a sudden looked good again. FAU looked great. And, you know, just weird stuff happens. But, you know, generally speaking, top half of the league, they play like the top half of the league for the majority of the season. I was less than impressed with UTSA last night. And so I feel extra good about next week.
Before the season, I had this game as a loss. And after watching them past four games, I still wouldn't take them for granted. They're still a decent team. Yeah. They can still pull out a win if we shoot ourselves in the foot again. But it's more, I've got it more as a 50-50.
50-50. I wonder, has the line come out yet?
I don't know. I don't look at this stuff.
I always like to get a little glance. I mean, here's the thing about a lot of the predictions. You know, you get the gambling ones and then all the advanced stat ones. I've been saying this when people are like, well, we're still, you know, 80th in S&P Plus or the FEI ratings or whatever. A lot of them take into account preseason rankings. And, you know, they have to. There's a good reason, good statistical reason for it. But when you have situations like ours in which our returning production, everything from tackles and sacks and things to, you know, yards, touchdowns, was so low. And it's, you know, you're like, well, you're getting your quarterback back, but he was not good last season, right? Mason Fine. You're getting your receiver back, but he was not that great. Like Turner Smiley, right? In terms of raw numbers, big numbers. But everybody's playing so much better. I said this before, we had the worst offense in Conference USA last year. And now we have the best by a number of statistics. So when you have a measure that takes into account, like I said, rightly, pretty smartly, takes into account preseason rankings that draw heavily on your past, it's not going to rank you too high. And as the season has moved on and the team has played better, the rankings have reflected that. We've moved up. I think we started somewhere in the hundreds, and now we're like in the 70s or something like that in the latest S&P Plus. Conversely, like UTSA, some of these other squads, they were returning a lot of the production, and they had pretty decent production, and so, you know, they're ranked a little bit higher. And also, it takes into account, like, recruiting. So we haven't done super well in recruiting. They have, you know, by the ratings and things. So that's why, when you're looking at that kind of stuff, it's as we're getting more into measuring this season, which I feel it's a little bit unique, you can see that where it's reflecting the truth. The reality that we're a pretty decent team now. Hey, look at that.
Not that bad.
I look at the way you score touchdowns. Yeah, so let's take a quick look at the latest and greatest standings. We're still the best scoring offense in the conference, 38 a game, 38.8. UTSA dropped down a bit. Now they're like 35.3 in four games. All that was said and done last night, they did score, and they moved the ball fairly well, had 450 yards total offense. I think that was a little bit more of Southern Miss being Southern Miss. Southern Miss is a known quantity to me. They can move the ball, they're explosive, their defense is iffy sometimes, they give up big plays, but, you got to look out because Ito Smith will tear you up.
Well, UTSA also had the ball for 36 minutes. there were a couple of those drives where USM had the ball, Southern Miss had the ball, and scored in one or two plays.
Yeah.
In the second half. So that kind of had an effect to it, and also the turnovers had an effect. UTSA was able to sustain long drives, march down the field, but only get 3 points or no points out of those long drives. So UTSA wasn't able to finish a lot of drives, even though they held the ball for about 36 minutes. And that's where all the yards came from. Is Southern Miss was kind of like a bend, don't break. They don't play that defense, but it was, as UTSA was marching down, they were bending a little bit, and then they didn't break at the end.
Yeah. One thing about that you'll hear is that there was a lot of missed opportunities for UTSA. And I think that's true. But, you know, again, you can't say, look at it and like, man, look how much, if the luck fell all the way on my side, it would have been so much better. Like, yeah, of course. Same way the other way. If you make the argument one way, UTSA could have, if the guy, the tight end guy would have caught the pass and scored instead of dropping the ball, like, oh, that would have been so much better. But same thing, if Alonzi Staggers holds on to the ball, that would have been a score. Like, you can't play that game. I don't like playing what if. Unless you're going to do what if both ways. So I think you don't want to look too specifically at one game to extrapolate, or else we're making the same mistake that I was saying that Southern Miss and then UTSA fans are making, just looking at some these stats and not really, you know,
giving any context.
Yeah. So the thing is that UTSA was getting gassed up. We're like, man, this defense is so good. They're going to stop everybody. Nobody can move the ball. No, they're not. They were not that great. They're a good-ish Conference USA defense. And by the way, North Texas is a good to great Conference USA offense. So I feel good about the matchup. And we're at home. So Florida Atlantic, by the way, man, they
I'm telling you, man,
they're scary, dude. They put up 58 points, and I think they were, that was at ODU. Oof. 58 points, and they just dominated in the run game. Like 400 and something yards, set a school record for rushing in the last 2 weeks. They're good, and I'm
that makes
scared.
Me feel better about our matchup with ODU, at least.
Yeah, I thought ODU is a win for us. You know, I thought FAU was going to be a win also, but now I'm not so sure anymore. That's going to be a big one. Hey, how about...
At least it'll be a fun game.
Yeah, how about Conference USA lining up some pretty great games for us? UAB was a big game, first conference game, and UAB has turned out to be a better team than we thought. They beat my number one team in a conference, La Tech, at home last night. And basically, like, them fixing the karma... basically the same situation in which we beat them, where we drove down and kicked the game-winning field goal. They blocked it, though. They blocked the game-winning field goal, won the game 23-22.
Good for them.
Yeah, UAB, I was saying, UAB is probably going to beat somebody. I thought that was going to be UTSA or Southern Miss or somebody, but they beat La Tech at home. That was a huge game. So anyway, what I'm saying, UAB, big game. Southern Miss, big game. UTSA, huge game. Now Florida Atlantic is looking like it's going to be, like, I don't want to put any carts before any horses or count chickens or whatever. But a preview, early preview of the conference championship game.
I'm telling you, if you would have said that last year, you would have been laughed at. If you just said that the year before that, it would have been a ridiculous statement. But Florida Atlantic and North Texas are the leading offenses in the conference.
Yeah, even if we drop a home game to UTSA, that game is still really large. I mean, it probably gets larger because then we'll lose our little game advantage in the West Division. I was, you know, in the Around the Conference USA podcast, I talked to the FAU guy, and I was saying, you know, I always kind of root a little bit for the former Sun Belt teams because I feel like we're not fully accepted into the conference just yet. Everybody goes, oh, these Sun Belt teams. I think, wasn't the Southern Miss fans calling us Fun Belt teams?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so I'm kind of rooting for them. And I know Florida Atlantic won a Sun Belt title. I can't remember if we were in the conference when they did that. But we never played for a conference, for a Sun Belt championship. I know Middle Tennessee and us kind of had some battles. But never Florida Atlantic. Florida Atlantic was still in that transitionary phase where they were, you know, getting to FBS. And so it was a little difficult to, we would get, those are our easy wins. You know, like, hey, we'll beat FAU. And even then we had a hard time beating them sometimes. So that's cool. I'm looking forward to this. Who knew that October was going to be our big challenge month? Big games in Conference USA. Man.
UTSA, Florida Atlantic, and then ODU.
Yeah, ODU at home. That is like the easiest game on our schedule, ODU, and they won 10 games last season. That's pretty crazy.
I mean, we've got UTEP and Rice on the schedule.
I'm talking about like as it comes up. Like, that's the easiest game that we have in this month. I guess we could take a little stop, though. It's still the bye week. We can take a quick look. I haven't really changed any of my predictions, except that I think that Florida Atlantic game is going to be a little questionable. I think we can probably stop the run game, maybe even score with them. But I'm willing to concede that I'm not as sure about that FAU game as I once was. So, hey, UTSA, we're going to win. FAU a win. ODU a win. La Tech, I still think we lose that one. But, you know, I could see a world where we lose to FAU and we win. In Ruston. UTEP win, Army a win, and definitely a Rice win. That's how I see it. I don't see us losing. I don't see there's a for sure loss on the schedule the rest of the way, but we could probably lose too.
I think at worst, seeing how we've played and seeing how the other teams have played, unless somebody improves like crazy, at worst, some of these games are 50-50.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible, especially considering that our two toughest games are on the road, FAU, La Tech, and I think now we can probably compete. We can compete with those teams, which is crazy.
Yeah, especially showing how we've won on the road
Yeah.
well, which is not a thing that we've done in the past.
Yeah, I mean, Southern Miss is about as good as La Tech played last night, you know? And we got a good punch from Southern Miss in that first half, and then they kind of faltered, but we had something to do with that, you know? They were like, they were getting ready to win going away, and we scored. And we're like, hey, game ain't over yet, buddy. And they got scared.
I ain't heard no fat lady.
Yeah. I think, you know, like, we may have overreacted. College football fans overreacted. We may have overreacted a little bit to Methodist there in that game. But Southern Methodist looks pretty good. Far be it for me to praise that team. They lost last night, but they're still a good, pretty solid team. Ugh, it feels ugly in my mouth to say anything good about SMU. They're a pretty good team. Lord, forgive me. Scrap me, forgive me. We have another question. Which remaining game will be the toughest for UNE? For UNT. UTSA.
What?
I know. It's an inside joke. UTSA, La Tech, or FAU? We kind of answered this one. I think I ranked them. I think the toughest game is going to be... I ranked them as FAU, La Tech, and then UTSA. Those are toughest games.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
No. That's going to be tough, man. I'm a little scared of FAU now, man. I don't know why. I think this is the feeling everybody else has about North Texas right now, from my talking around the league and just browsing some message boards. Everybody's like, oh, man, UT's real good.
Yeah, I mean, if we drop one to FAU, and that's the only one we drop, I mean, it's an against a East Division opponent.
Yeah, I mean,
I'll feel pretty good. I mean, it'll, like I said, it'll be a fun game.
Yeah. In case you're wondering about the conference standings right now, we are still tops, and actually, the results of last night made it even better that we're. You know, like, we have a game lead on everybody. I think I'm pulling it up. You can hear me stalling right now. Actually, types furiously. Look at what I'm. So the second in the conference is Southern Miss. They're 1-1. You know, they beat UTSA and lost to us. So we have a game advantage on them. Same with UAB, who beat La Tech. We beat them. I think somebody said, hey, look, we just beat the two teams that beat two teams that we needed that are our main competition. So that's pretty good. I mean, the story is real simple. If we win all our conference games, we win the division. It's that simple. We control our own fate. And we don't need anybody to lose. I mean, we're undefeated. It's real simple. There's no breakdown needed.
I mean, we'll still be a half game. Even if we lose next week, we'll still be a half game behind. I don't expect us to win all our conference games. I don't expect us to win out. But we started out so strong that we have a little bit of a cushion. We're not a perfect team, but we've got a little bit of a cushion to be able to compete for the top spot.
Yeah, and I think most people pencil in La Tech and UTSA as the 1 and 2 in this division. That's about where I saw it too. And I figured, you know, Southern Miss next. But we, like I said, we beat them. We have an advantage on head-to-head. We just have to take care of business. And, you know, it's real simple. You just win your games, and you don't have to worry about tiebreakers or anything. So that there's your conference breakdown. In the East Division, Florida Atlantic is in the same position we are, 2-0, with a pretty explosive offense, and everybody's a little scared of them. Marshall's 1-0, and they look like they have returned to the thundering herd team that we expected them to be last year.
Trying to tell you.
I mean, I think what the thing was going into last year, I was like, you know, I felt about them the way I feel about like UTSA, I guess, where it was like a team everybody was like hyping up. I'm like, you know, we had no offense in 2015. Like, it was like negative offense, and we give them a little scary scare. You know, like, it was gonna be fine. I'm like, we have offense this year. We should be able to give them a game. And I got laughed off like one of the Conference USA message boards. Like, no way, Marshall is losing to UNT. Yeah, guess what? Yeah, so Western Kentucky lost, or they won last night against UTEP, but in a win that feels like a loss. They won 15-14 against coachless, directionless UTEP.
I mean, and I want to not to bring it back to Marshall, but to bring it back to Marshall, they only beat Charlotte, which is probably one of the worst teams in the East, or the worst team in the East. They only beat them 14-3.
Yeah, I mean.
So I think, and my point being, I think Florida Atlantic has the, is set up to run away with the East.
Yeah, you know, yeah. I don't disagree there. I thought, here's the thing. I overcorrected on Western Kentucky, because when Skip Holtz came to La Tech, I was like, I don't know what this guy has. And as they struggled in the coaching transition, they didn't really play it too well. I was like, see what I'm saying? La Tech's not gonna be that good. And then, you know, they turned out to be one of the best teams in the conference following a couple of seasons. So I was like, okay, I was pretty wrong there. Let me adjust accordingly. Western Kentucky will not falter. Ha-ha. Look at me being smart. And now Western Kentucky looks pretty bad. So, you know, I was like, I gave too much credit to the quarterback. Like, Mike White is still there. They have a lot of talent still there. You know, a lot of times that's all you have to point to, right? It's like the players. And the Western Kentucky bloggers and things are like, yeah, this is more the coaching staff messing up than anything else. So there you go. That's what's going on with Western Kentucky. East Division talk. FAU 2-0, Marshall 1-0. As you said, they beat Charlotte, and they don't look like they can hang with FAU. FIU still pretty bad. They got blown out by Middle Tennessee, right? Yeah. And they struggle with Charlotte. West Kentucky's 1-1. They lost to La Tech. Middle Tennessee's 1-1. They had that bad loss to FAU, but that doesn't look so bad now. Now it looks like the order of things. Old Dominion and Charlotte round out the conference. Old Dominion just really in a rebuilding season. They're not necessarily a bad team, like that, man. You know, bumbling, stumbling, that kind of thing. Charlotte looks like that, though.
Yeah, and I think Middle Tennessee. Did they get Stock still back?
I don't know. They got him back. I know they got Richie James back. That's what's going on there. Like, you know. As they return to health, they're going to be a different team. They moved the ball pretty well last night. FIU so, fans are pretty upset. They're like, I can't believe we're not 4-1 now. I don't know.
So it's Urzua right now playing quarterback MCSU.
I still don't know what to think of that team. So ladies and gentlemen, let's talk about UTSA a little bit more. Strengths and weaknesses. One thing that concerned me and always concerns me about UTSA was that they don't quite have what I think I said Southern Miss has the ingredients to beat us, to take advantage of our weaknesses. They have a running back that doesn't need a whole lot of room, and he can make plays. And we saw that, right? When we played him, he got by our linebacker and took it to the house. By the way, I saw the Beyond the Green, and I was kind of right, I guess. I was like, I can't think that the game plan was to have Colton McDonald guard Ito Smith in space. And it turns out it wasn't. Ref it was like, I had two linebackers there. You know, I had two. I didn't bring the other guy there. I don't know what's in this one. So, yeah, that's kind of the deal. It wasn't supposed to be Colton McDonald's space.
What's the worst ref it impression I've ever seen?
That was the first ref it impression you've ever seen?
Yeah.
So it's also the best. It's also the best, is what I'm saying. Yeah, so, like, that's the deal. And then they have big, tall wide receivers that can go up and get the ball. And, you know, that's the thing everybody has a problem with. And that's where I was a little scared. And I thought their wide receivers could make plays. Watching them against UTSA, go ahead.
Yeah, they've got big, strong receivers. They were snatching the balls away from Southern Miss's cornerbacks. And they drop good plays. They'll flood a side of the field. And in one play, there was three receivers and two defensive backs, and Sturm just had to pick one of the receivers to throw it to. So play calling's good. We have to be pretty disciplined on that part of the defense.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. So, like, they have Josh Stewart is the guy. He didn't – I can't remember what his stat line was last year, but in San Antonio, I know at least on one drive, one kind of game-sealing drive, he caught a big – like lob play to on Eric Jenkins' side, where he just went up and got it. Like Dalton Sturm escaped the pocket, rolled out, threw it up, and Josh Stewart came down with it. And that was pretty frustrating. And, you know, that will happen. And what we need to control is not necessarily that happening, but when that happens. We don't want to put the game where in a situation where we need a stop down the stretch to win the game, because that could happen, right? And if that happens there, we lose the game. It's fine if they do it in the first quarter, you know, or when we're up 14 points and they do that. You know what I mean? It reminds me of basketball where I'm like, you got to get a big lead against, like, the Warriors. Like, if it's down the last 2 minutes, your lead needs to be 15 to 17 because the Warriors can score, you know, 12, 15 points in a minute, like nothing. So if you're only up 8, then you're pretty much going to lose. You're still in the danger zone. Hopefully that makes sense to everybody, because it makes sense to me. All right, so defensively, I think we can get to Dalton Sturm. Southern Miss was chasing him around.
Rushing 3 to 4. Nothing huge.
Yeah, again, another reason this game was interesting to me is because Southern Miss's defensive scheme is very similar to ours. Their offensive scheme, very similar to ours. And they had a lot of success on both sides of the ball. And I feel like we can look at that and say, hey, look, they did that. We can do that. By the same token, UTSA is going to be like, hey, they run the same scheme. Let's correct for these mistakes, right? But I don't think it was like schematic things. It was just guys getting beat. Our defensive line has been good this season. And, you know, I think we're going to get to Dalton Sturm. We got to him last season. We'll get to him this season. Getting him in the grasp and getting him on the ground is going to be the challenge.
That's the hard part.
Yeah.
And you saw it too last night. I mean, some of the defensive ends had a clear shot at Sturm, and he just did a little remove, and he was just scot-free after that. Defensively, we need to do what we did to Staggers the week before and to Josh Stewart. Yeah. You know, bracket him, double him, and have him try to beat us with the other guys.
Yeah. That was a big thing this week for Southern Miss, is that they were able to complete some of the passes that they were unable to do to complete last week against us. On this side, I think Dalton Sturm's a more accurate quarterback. I think he's like at 70% completion rate or something. He's a more accurate quarterback than we've seen. I think he reminds me a lot of Erdley, A.J. Erdley from UAB. You know, mobile, has escapability, which is not a word. And, you know, he can make plays outside the pocket. So that's concerning, you know. We gotta do a good job on third downs. Again, these are so generic. We got to do a good job at football. So if we do good football, then we should win. But, I mean, yeah, it's the same old thing. Like last season, hey, guess what? We were not so great on third downs. Stop me if you've heard that before. North Texas defense, good to great on first and second, not so great on third downs.
I mean, saying that we're great on second down is almost an understatement. We've been so good on our attacking has been so good on second down, because we stop them on first down, and then we bring everybody on second down, and we try the same thing on third down, and Nate Brooks gets beat on a double move. And that's something that didn't happen last game, is nobody got beat on double move last game.
Yeah.
So that, you know, keep that momentum going on defense next week, and then we should make it a better game. Be solid up front, try to stop the run game, because that's what they depend on. Disrupt that and force Sturm to start making plays. And we, as long as we're stopping Stewart, we have a shot.
Yeah, I like our matchup and our receivers against their secondary. I like, if we're playing well, I even like our secondary against their receivers. Like, I don't think, you know, if they want to line up and throw it 35 times, I like that matchup, because I think we get to them enough times that we can make plays. But I like our line against their running backs, against their run game. I feel like we've seen better run games, and even teams that want to play that style. UAB, Iowa, we've played well against them. This is nothing we haven't seen before, so we're not going to be shocked by it. Oh my God, they want to line up and run right at us. Like, yeah, so did Iowa, and we did a hell of a job against them. So did UAB, and they had two long drives against us, and the rest were just, you know, double moves, what the hell plays. We can stop this run game. We can stop this run philosophy, this style. So I feel good about that. And, I mean, Dalton Sturm is not very different than Erdley. And we already saw the problems we had, and we've already began correcting those, right? Eric Jenkins is starting. hint, hint. And I feel good about everything across the board, man. Just name like one area where you feel like they're better there, and that's going to be an issue. Yeah, I'm stumped also.
Yeah.
None of that to say is that we're going to just blow them out. I mean, it's going to be, you know, I think I had us winning by like, you know, maybe 10, maybe even six, something like that, because despite our advantages, our advantages are not so great where it's just like a romp. We're at home. We can beat ourselves. We've shown that we are perfectly happy beating ourselves sometimes.
I mean, yeah, let's give UTSA credit. They're not a bad team. They're still a good team. The matchup is going to be a good matchup, and as long as we don't, our explosivity doesn't get limited.
I don't know if that's a word either, but we'll go with it.
I looked it up. As long as it's not limited, I think we have a shot.
Yeah, I mean, a good shot. So I feel like we should be favored in this one. I mean, even by 3 points or something like that. I saw a quote. I think was it Jared from the Underdog Dynasty guys. He was like, it was Ryan Gano. He was like, yeah, I don't think any team in this matchup, in this series, is ever, you can't just look at who's playing well. It's like, seems like it's like always an upstart that does something. And it's kind of true. It's only been four matchups or whatever. And most of the matchups have been between two terrible teams. But 2013, we were riding high. UTSA came in and won. I've made the contention then that had to happen if we wanted a spark of rivalry. I never heard so much hate than I did after that game, when people are like, yeah, you know, UTSA is just another team. After the game, I hate that team. Oh my God, I hate them so bad. We were the only ones that had anything to lose that game. If we had beaten UTSA then, and we should have beat them, they would have came away thinking, well, of course we lost to UNT. There's nothing to lose. Look at us. We're in our second year. We're doing so good. You know, they're playing with house money. The next year, I think we were both bottom of the barrel teams, and you know, we shot ourselves in the foot in a terrible season. The next year, they were our only win. You know, again, two very bad teams. Nobody really cared. And then last year, I think had the most on it, but we were feeling good about the week before. I think we played Army the week before. We were feeling real good about ourselves. We're like, look at us. We're not so bad. We're not as bad as we thought. A lot of people were predicting us to win like one or two games last year, and we were already at three then. We're like, wow, look at North Texas. We feel good. But I feel like that one had the most pressure on it. And after we lost, there was a lot of like, oh my God, same old North Texas comes up to a big game and blows it. Oh my God. And I mean, yeah, I guess, but again, freshman quarterback on the road, made freshman mistakes. It's not really that surprising that happened. It's frustrating, it's disappointing, but it's not surprising. This year.
And you know, it's such a random variable, mm-hmm, that it could happen this game and Mason Fine just, it falls out of his hands, it gets snapped over his head.
Yeah.
And that's something you can't account for. As long as you're able to recover, and North Texas has shown that it can recover from a deficit or from mistakes so far this season, that you know, I'm not terribly – I wouldn't be terribly alarmed if in the first quarter we were down a couple scores.
Yeah, kind of tying into what I said earlier is that I don't like plans that include zero risk. You know what I mean? Like that your plan of action has nothing for risk management. Like what happens if things fail? Like, well, you know, we're just going to do so good, things are not going to fail. I'm like, okay, you know what that means? That means when things fail or don't go according to plan, you're going to be freaking out and you're going to ruin everything. That's what's going to happen here, guy. So we should pencil in, hey, when, you know, adversity, when you get some adversity, when you get adversity, because there's going to be adversity, you need to have a plan to deal with it and not just be shocked. Like, what? We didn't get a first down? Oh my God, I mean, a panic attack. You're not going to get a first down. You're going to be backed up in your own end zone. You're going to be down 14-7. And that's another thing, another reason I feel so good about this game is we were down, was it 14-0 at Southern Miss, and we're backed against our own end zone, and our best player, running back, just got almost tackled for a safety. You know what I mean? Like, that's a pretty intense situation to be in. And hey, we came out of it, right?
Yeah, and then we ended up outscoring the rest of the game 43-14, yeah, something like that.
at Iowa, crowd going crazy, and they are pretty much walking up and down the field against us, and we got out of it. Hey, our quarterback goes down. We got the backup out there. We absolutely need a score right now, and he drives them for a touchdown. Like, that's pretty good, too. That shows a little bit of resilience, even to the Southern Methodist game. We're down. We're getting blown out, but they kept fighting, kept scoring, and you're like, oh, it's garbage time scores. Like, no. Look at some of these teams that give up when they're down. We didn't do that. They kept fighting. And that's a sign of a team that's well coached and at least can fight through adversity. So that makes me, gives me good feelings, you know?
Yeah, and all those garbage time naysayers, we have kept that momentum up. We haven't stopped attacking like we did at the end of the Southern, or Southern, dang it, now you got me doing it, the SMU game.
Told you, man, it's not so easy. Yeah, so that's why I feel good about this, is that, like, I don't, you know, again, UTSA hadn't really felt that. They just kind of walked over three opponents. And it could very well be that this game, this Southern Miss game, was kind of a wake-up call for them. And now they play, like, the monster team that they think they are. But I've never really bought the hype in them. They have some good, talented players, but so do we. I mean, Keyshawn McClain is good, you know? The players, Brandon Garner is a good linebacker. Nate Brooks is a good corner, even though he has been playing up. Eric Jenkins is good. Keemon Hall has played well. We have players on our team. We have talent on our team. Flushi's been playing well, and he's good. You know, Rod Young, Sid Moore. We had Josh Wheeler. These are good players, and they can, you know, they're going to be tough to deal with.
Offensively, they're playing lights out, too.
Yeah. I mean, so I think it's real easy to look at the other team and you start reading it, and you're like, oh, man, we're never going to win anything. And you forget sometimes that it's more like you know your team so well that you can see the flaws more readily, and you know you look at their team you haven't watched them day in and day out, and so you don't really know that their big strong tight end has a tendency to drop passes on big plays. You know, you don't know that.
But it is UTSA, and we'll find a way to get that interception in the end zone, or fumble the punt return at the end of the game, or you know. Whatever it is, whenever we play UTSA, something happens, and you can't account for it. And it doesn't won't change my opinion of our team. It's just, dang it.
Yeah.
It's just win a game.
I think what this series hasn't had just yet is a blowout. I think last season's game was the closest to a blowout. But, you know, it was like 14-7 at half or 14-0 at half, whatever it was. It was nothing crazy. And, like, it got the difference in the score was extended like late in the third, but that didn't even feel like a blowout because you know, North Texas scored and there was a little nervousness.
We moved the ball up and down on them last season. You know, we fumbled the ball at the end of the half. We
Mason Fine.
at the goal line. I was trying to remember what the play was, and then yeah, Mason Fine, the interceptions and the fumbles were just weird ones. But we still kept marching up and down. We got that onside kick back. Yeah. Awesome punter.
I think that's one area where we're not as great now. We don't have an amazing punter that can change the game. Heisman-level punter. Yeah, so, I mean, I'm hoping for a blowout. I think this series needs a blowout, like a nice 75-0 blowout, you know?
81-0, that's my prediction.
God, could you imagine? I would talk all the mess for one whole year. Even beyond that, it's like a good decade in mess talking thing. Like, yeah, sure, guy. 81-0.
Yeah, and I feel like on special teams or on defense, we're going to get a touchdown.
Really? Ooh, calling it.
Their kickoffs, just one little thing that I noticed, UTSA's kickoffs have been pretty short, like 10 yards or 5 yards. A 5-yard line, 10-yard line, and I think Darden could take advantage of that. They use the flood a lot. UTSA does drag routes, dig routes, and I think Eric Jenkins can take advantage of those and take one to the house. So I'm calling it either Eric Jenkins pick six or Darden kickoff return.
Yeah, you know, one example of how not good. Like, I mean, Sturm has the stats. You look at the numbers, you're like, this guy's pretty good. But one example of how he's not, like, the greatest quarterback was the route that he threw that he got intercepted. I think they were saying that was, like, the receiver's mistake. But all that was just a terrible throw. And he had a couple bad throws during the game.
And he got bailed out by his big old receivers.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, I feel good. I feel good about next week. I feel good about our position in the league. It's kind of weird, you know, transitioning to be like, hey, we got a good old team here, man. But we do. North Texas is 3-2. We're above 500. 2-0 in conference. And we take on a very solid UTSA team. I'll tell you what, though. You know what's good? OU lost, and Texas won, but it was ugly. Mm-hmm. That's going to color next week's Texas-OU game just a little bit. I mean, why go watch those teams? One of them lost to Iowa State, man. They can't be good at losing to Iowa State.
Come watch a better game.
Oh, another note I saw, a lot of UTSA fans were complaining about their attendance. It was like 21,000. I think they found their level. You know, there was a lot of smack talk from the UTSA fans to us. Like, you guys can't even fill your stadium. Look at us with our 40,000 people. The novelty did wear off, as a lot of people predicted. And, you know, it turns out, you know, just showing up doesn't mean fans get there, you know. They were a 3-0 team entering a Conference USA game, a fairly large Conference USA game, and nobody was there. So there you go. They found their level, which is about 20,000 people a game. By the way, that's what we're getting. So don't feel too bad, ladies and gentlemen, about only 21,000 people showing up to North Texas versus UTSA, because that's about what's going to happen.
And if you build a smaller stadium, and folks at home, I'm pointing to my head right now. If you build a smaller stadium, then it looks fuller.
That's true. That's true. 20,000 people scattered amongst 65,000 seats looks very small. But 20,000 people in a 25,000 seat stadium, that looks pretty filled up.
Well, one thing I wanted to mention real quick is last night I tweeted that Conference USA is in shambles, and it's a little bit of overstatement, and it's both blessing and a curse. One, from the outside, it doesn't look great. Conference USA looks pretty weak, but for North Texas's point of view, we have to absolutely take advantage of the situation of teams that are down that are usually perennial powerhouses like La Tech specifically. Western Kentucky and Middle Tennessee has been a recent occurrence. But they have been competing really well with both other Conference USA teams and other P5 teams, beating, you know, Syracuse this year, Missouri State or Ole Miss in the past. So North Texas has to do its job. We're doing well. We have to roll in and get some wins, try to make some noise in the conference when it's upside down like this. And if we don't, it's going to be a lost opportunity. We're going to be look back on this and say, man, we had a chance to do this like we did in 2013, and we couldn't, you know, finish the job.
Yeah, that was a excuse me. That was a very winnable season. And, I mean, you know, I talk about this a lot, that I feel like once every 4 years is when you should look at the coach and be like, hey, you probably should have competed for a conference championship. Like, bounces of a ball are one thing, you know. Sometimes maybe a kick goes wide left or something like that, you know. And things happen. But you should be in the conversation. Like, you should be competing. You shouldn't drop games against lower-level teams. You know, like for La Tech and for Western Kentucky, even these seasons where they're a little bit more down just because they have, like, squad rotation, basically, right? People graduating. They still should be in that conversation. You can make the argument that we're getting to that point. I mean, that's the goal. That's where we want this program to be, is that it's unrealistic to say, you know, we should be beating Texas every year. Like, I mean, no, there's a lot of recruiting advantages that don't really work out that way. But, I mean, I guess just look at La Tech, right? They're good enough to give South Carolina a game. But they should have won that game. They probably should have, you know, eight more clock and maybe even try to score a touchdown instead of a field goal. And also they allowed two big plays to allow whatever. It was 2 weeks ago. And this week, they lost to a team they should have beat. You know, they should have beat UAB. Yeah, UAB gave them a game, and they're going to be a good team, but they should have beat them. So, same thing. UTSA is a good team, but we should beat them. If we want to go this program is headed to where we think it's headed or where we want it to be headed, and what we're paying South Latrell, you know, to take us. They need to beat UTSA. It's that kind of game. It's like this is the difference between these two teams is not so great that you can be like, well, you know, just a different level of talent over there in San Antonio, so that's why we can't. No, you should beat this team. Like, figure it out. Figure out how to out-scheme them, how to out-motivate them, all those things. We have a lot of – we're at home in front of our fans, you know, all eight of them, right, whatever in case. We have all the advantages in front of you. Hey, we need to go out there and win this game. This is a very winnable game, and we need to win it. This is the kind of game – we're at home. Like, all those things, you know what I mean? This is a game we win. After a bye, win this game. It needs to be won. Or else we're just not really ready to play this game. That said, I would totally understand how we lost if we lose because we're not significantly better. But this is the kind of game we need to win if we're headed in that direction.
Yeah, if we want to be taken seriously, if we don't want UTSA fans going on your fan board and saying, ha, 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 you still can't beat us.
Yeah.
You need to win this game.
Or yeah, I mean, just, you know, regionally, locally, if we want to say, hey, are you going to take us seriously this year? They're going to be like, no, man. Every time we think about paying attention to North Texas, you guys don't do anything, you know? Like, we need to make a statement and be like, well, North Texas is undefeated in conference, hosting the conference championship game. Then you have to pay attention to it. You have to say, well, defending conference champions, University of North Texas, are beginning their season, their 2018 season next week. That's how you get them to pay attention. It's not, you know, it's not, hey, well, we're kind of good, and if you look deeper at the stats, we're pretty decent. You know, the email headline needs to be everything, not the body of the text.
Yeah, you don't want your PR, you know, momentum of the week or the month to be, hey, this athletic director is sending a cease and desist letter to Michigan State.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. And, you know, I didn't even talk about it too much this week on the blog. I was just kind of a little busy. But, yeah, that was – I think Ren Baker did everything he was supposed to do there. Like, that's his job, you know. It's not my job. It's not your job. It's not the president's job. It's the athletic director's job to say, hey, we're gonna protect that. So I think he did a great job of doing that. It had the side effect of winning us a lot of attention, getting us in a lot of outlets, so –
it was good publicity for sure. And Ren Baker took advantage of that publicity.
Yeah. So good stuff, guys. What else do we have to go on right now? Anything as we wrap this up, this live episode?
I mean, I got nothing, you know. Run the ball a lot with Jeffrey Wilson, attack the edges. Run the run option. Give it to Jalen Guyton. Let him run for touchdowns. 81-0.
Yeah, let's throw the ball a lot and often. Yeah, we should win. We should win this game. I just hope we blow them out. That'd be fun. I think this series needs to blow out. It needs to blow out here. We will feel so good heading into FAU, and maybe a win here would kind of make the loss, the possible loss at FAU, feel a little bit better or easier to take.
Cause that's it'll scare FAU, and then they're not going to want to play.
I like it. I like making the Mean Green be nice and scary, you know? Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the Mean Green Nation podcast and waking up early with us and listening live. And if you didn't listen live, well, maybe you should. Yeah, thanks for listening to the podcast, though. Again, you can tweet at us, Mean Green Nation, Aldo's on Twitter. If you can tweet at me at Mean Green Nation, and then I'll send you to Aldo's way. But he's Aldo Avina or Avina on Twitter.
Right? ALDOAVINA.
Yeah. We're on the message boards, and you know, you can leave comments on MeanGreenNation.com. We are very reachable. You can send an email to podcast@MeanGreenNation.com. If you have questions or anything like that, or you want to talk about something, or criticisms, or like, you know, last week I listened to the show and your volume was super loud and Aldo's wasn't. What's the deal there? Well, it's a fat finger to setting, and then the file was cached. Even though I fixed it, I had to refix it later. That's what happens sometimes.
I just whisper.
Yeah. Aldo just wants to be central. I don't understand why. I feel he thinks that's really where he's on brand for him. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening. Go Mean Green. Go to the games. All that good stuff. Yeah.
Go Mean Green.